Actually, you know what's also really interesting is any store that is very specialized is always like this really crazy world to go into.
That's
I
true.
mean, I think the classic best example might be a guitar store.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first time I went to a guitar store, it was, I mean, I don't think I wasn't young. I was like maybe 25, 26, you know what I mean? And it was like going into Wayne's World. It was just that store in Wayne's World. I was like, oh, this is real. This is that. I thought it was a joke. Like, I got that they were joking. That was like not satire. That was real. Like they literally had the sign that said, "Do not play these songs," you know. And then they had like the employees with the super long hair who were like rockers. They were all wearing like band T-shirts, you know, and all like tatted up, you know. And then those people just like sitting there like shredding, you know. And it's like, wow. And it was like really dingy, dim and dark, you know, and like random like guitar like shredding off the distance, and like in the corner there'd be a guy like slamming on some drum sets. It's really funny, you know. It's just funny. And you go in there and you ask a simple question because you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I just want to like buy a guitar, you know, or like maybe not even something as complicated as that. It's like, I want to buy some strings. Oh, what kind? Yeah, sure, I can help you out with that. Whatever you need. Like, they start talking about all this technical stuff, and like, I don't really know what you're talking about. I can imagine a fishing store would be like that. Like, oh, what kind of line you need? Oh, well, I need a 30-40 blind with you know, medium twist. What do you want, catgut or nylon? Or no, I was thinking about synthetic with a little bit of a, I don't really know, just
Strawberry flavor.
strawberry flavor. That's right, Eskimo.
No, yeah, I hear you. Especially, yeah, the it's quite like that. I think anytime you have a specialized thing, it's almost intimidating
Oh,
going
it's
into
super
one of
intimidating, even
those,
if you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like you walk into the guitar store or whatever, and the guys are, I mean, they're so involved in the guitar, you know? And like, and that's where you can really tell who's a good salesperson and who's not, because the good salesperson will totally reach out and be welcoming to the people who don't know what they're talking about. And then the guys who were there because their band failed and, you know,
Well, I
and
mean,
whatever, they're
salesmanship is
sort of.
actually it's interesting criteria for what a good salesperson is. Like, there's good salesperson as in like they really gave the customer what they needed, and then there's a good salesperson who sold them the most expensive thing that they really didn't need. And I think there's a lot of both of those kind of people, I suppose. But I think there's more of the latter. I think more people are trying to sell you the most expensive thing,
Well, I
or
don't know. They're Here's an idea. How about sustainable salesmanship? I feel like that would be the first category where you sell someone something that they need and they want, and so they would, know you and get to come back. Where you're never going to get that at, I guess the big, the big box sort of stores, because I don't know, there's a high rate of turnover and it's almost like a warehouse or whatever. But I think if you go into a place like a music store, and you had two music stores you went to, one the guy just like took advantage of the fact he didn't know anything and he sold you the most expensive thing in the store, and the other the guy took time to get to know what you were looking for and talk to you through stuff and maybe sold you something that was more like beginner intermediate level cheaper stuff, I think you would be much more willing to go back to the second guy.
I think you're right, but I think part of the problem also is because of like the way the marketplace is. You know, like the minute you find out what you need, like maybe that second guy helps you out or whatever, and then you're like, okay, well, you know, he told you like this is what you need, like, you know, you need this kind of guitar or this kind of like rod or whatever it is you need. And then you find out, or you just like, you know, he goes away and you check your phone real quick that you could buy that same thing because it's just a commodity at the other store or online or any other place for much cheaper. All of a sudden, it's like you're gone. Because, I mean, and the thing is, like, there used to be all these small stores where you could buy, like, equipment of any sort, right? And then now there's, like, Amazon, and now there's, like, all these online things. And all you have to do is just go online, and you find everything you want for 20% cheaper than anything else. And salesmanship kind of goes out the window.
I guess that's true. But that is predicated on the, I guess, idea that you know what you're looking for, or you're willing to buy something without knowing it's what you want.
Yeah, and
Which
I think.
I, you know, I've sort of been looking at like video cameras and stuff lately, and that's sort of the situation I find myself in. I'm like, I don't really know, what these are, but I know I can get them cheaper online. Do I really want to spend this much money on something I'm not really sure about,
But the, like what I'm saying is, like, you could easily go to a store, just talk to the salesman, and then leave. You know, and then there's the problem. I mean, he doesn't have any reason why you have to buy it there at that point.
Yeah.
You can get all his advice for free.
Except that if all the stores go out of business, then you don't, you're just going to be left with the internet.
Oh, of course. No, you're totally right. But, I mean, that doesn't really factor in anybody's. It's like price is king, right?
So,
I mean,
again, we come to the tragedy of the commons.
Yes.
That's an interesting twist, I guess, on the tragedy of the commons.
The tragedy of the marketplace.
Yes. Indeed. No one's coined that phrase yet.
No, it's the worst. I mean, because the thing is, like, people, like, salesmen are always like this. Like, I mean, car dealerships, any place, you know, and certain industries are worse than others. Like, guitar stores are really notorious for it, I think. Car salesmen are notorious for it, like, super notorious. I don't know. Well, I'm trying to think of something else that would be really notorious for trying to sell you something. Well, like, anybody who calls you on the phone. Like, you know, like, the minute you pick up, like, they have to, like, they have, like, 5 seconds to get your attention or you hang up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you have to, like, they really have to, like, reel you in with either, like, guilt, like, indebtedness, shame, fear, or just interest, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe 5% of people are interested, 20% are scared, the other 20% are, like, feel guilty about hanging up with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, I don't know what I'm up to now. 35%.
The other 100%.
But yeah, I don't know. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know how to solve that. I mean, I think it's just like you have. Yeah, and the thing is that you have to be a really savvy consumer.
Right. Yeah. I think that's ultimately the solution to any of those things. But it's hard to be that when you're in a situation where you're like, oh, maybe I want something that I don't know a lot about. It's like you suddenly have to dedicate a lot of your time to educating yourself about something that you come in with zero knowledge about.
Well, have you ever been in a position where you have to kind of bargain for something, or you have to, you know, just kind of like play? Because I think, okay, like in the United States, in many, many commerce situations, you just walk in, you say, how much is that? They give you a price. It's written on the thing.
Right, yeah.
And you pay that much, right?
Yeah.
But in the other, like, let's say 15% of the markets in the United States and 85% of the markets in the rest of the world,
right, it's all
there's no label.
Yeah.
And it's all like, oh, I see you. And I see what you're wearing. 35.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. It's going to be 20.
Yeah.
And then you go back and forth. Right? Have you ever done that? Like, I'm imagining that living in Ecuador, you probably did a little bit.
Yes, even though I never lived in Ecuador.
Paraguay. I do this every time.
Yeah, no, but in my travels in Ecuador and my time living in other parts of South America, definitely. Yeah, I think you run into a lot more
and
bargaining.
It's this weird sort of vibe because, like, even so, my fiance and I were looking for places to have our wedding at, you know, and you go and you say. Because the thing is, you're going to give them all these people, like, you go to a venue and you're like, we're going to have this many people and this, you know, you're going to, like, pay this much money for each person there and then they're going to cater it. And, then, you know, it adds up to, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, you know. And it's like, these people really want your business because that's thousands of dollars,
yeah,
you know, for
yeah.
them. And so, like, you know, they're being really friendly and really, you know, it's like, oh, what do you need? What do you need? And it's like, I get very, like, paranoid or, like you know, kind of like, not paranoid, but I'm on my guard.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to give any information away that might give them an idea of how much money I have or how much money we're willing to spend. Because
right.
I'm always thinking in the back of my mind about the end game where it's like we're going to have to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if this number is where it is, like, am I going to be in a position to knock that down?
Mm-hmm.
Can I be up front and say, look, I mean, I see your number here, but, like, that's way more than we're willing to pay. You know, but the thing is, if you give it away by being too excited or enthusiastic about it, then it's like, well, they know you. They've got you. They know you want it. You know, it's like, oh, I love this place. It's so perfect. I like it. It's so beautiful. It's like, okay, well, I don't know if I really like it. I mean, if you knock 5,000 off.
Well,
you know.
I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't pull that. I would, you know, I wouldn't pull that act either. I think you want to, you know, I think you want to find a middle ground there and be like, you know, hey, yeah, this is a nice place. What's your rate? What, you know, and be like, I don't know about that.
I guess, yeah, but I totally pull the, like, I mean, Yeah, I won't give away anything. Like, I'm not a very good bargainer, and I'm not exactly awesome at any of this stuff, but, like, I definitely have it in my mind that I don't want to be too excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because that will show that, like, I have no bargaining position, you know? Whereas, like, I could just walk away and find some other place, no big deal, you know?
Right, but, I mean, you could walk away from a place you're very excited about, too. I mean, the power's in your hands.
Oh, no, and that's what I'm saying. That's why you can't give it away. You can't be like, I'm excited about this place, and then you can't walk away then because they know that you won't walk away.
Why not? I mean, you could always walk away. You always have that in your
back pocket. No, but I'm excited about it, right?
Yeah, but there's plenty of wedding places out there.
Oh, no, they're not. I mean, wedding places, cars, like guitars, like chairs, whatever it is you're buying. Like,
you're saying you find the one you want.
If you see the one that you want,
yeah,
then you have to play it cool.
I mean, just like the Jets.
Yeah, well, very similar, but I'm more of a shark.